same. I want to leave changed, right? I believe that if you come to church, you leave the same way you didn't have church. You didn't have church. And I believe that when we come to church and when we leave, we should leave changed by the glory of God. Amen? Changed by the glory of God, by the word of God, and that we can begin to be an agent of change in the world and in our community by the presence of God who lives in us. And we can change the community through the power of God. But today I want to preach on the significance of the cross and the empty tomb. And I believe it's fitting today to preach on why Jesus died for us and why he rose from the dead. You say, Pastor, that's simple. That's right. We want to keep it simple. Why did Jesus die for us and why did he raise from the dead? And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it tells us simply why Jesus died for us. Now, most of you in here, you may know why Jesus died for us. But maybe there may be somebody in here that may not know why Jesus died. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we get the answer. The Lord gives us the answer. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their..." From what? From their sins. From their sins. In 1 Corinthians, and you can turn over there with me if you'd like to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, Paul is talking about the gospel. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, he says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So why did Christ Jesus die? He died for our sins. He died for our sins. Now, some of us, we may not get too excited about that, but if you understand the seriousness and the totality of this, that he forgave me of all of my sins. This is the reason why when we saw that movie up there where Jesus died on the cross, he took every sin. Now imagine this, every sin that I've committed, every sin that you've committed and will commit, y'all still with me this morning, every sin on the body of Jesus Christ, he took it upon himself. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Only Jesus could do it. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And so we know that when we accept the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice that Jesus gave to us on the cross, we know that he erased every sin. Now, what is sin? Well, the Bible says in 1 John that sin is lawlessness. It says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin is death, and death is eternal separation from God. And so Jesus came to earth by the command of the Father. And listen, he did it just not because he was commanded to, but he did it willingly. And he willingly came to earth and died for our sins so that we wouldn't have to be eternally separated from God the Father. And so God is just, and sin has to be punished. Who has sinned? Look at your neighbor and say, "You've sinned." Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fell short and fall short of the glory of God." And so now notice what it says in Romans 3:23. It says, "All have sinned," past tense. Everybody say past tense. And then it says, "and fall short of the glory of God." That's present tense, isn't it? So he's saying we still fall short of the glory of God. Now, sin is not just something we do, it's something we inherited. David said, "I was born in iniquity. I was born in sin." Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says that through Adam, sin has been passed on to every generation. Through Adam, we have all inherited the sin nature. Everybody say sin nature. So I came into this world, and when I reached the age of accountability, man, that sin nature really showed. It really manifested. And so before we get born again and before we get saved, we have a sin nature that we have to deal with, and we got to depend on God to get rid of the sin nature. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to follow the nature of sin. I want to walk in the Spirit. So I am a sinner. Now y'all listen close. I was a sinner because of Adam's sin. Listen, before I even sinned, I was a sinner. Y'all with me? I had a really bad start in life. You had a really bad start in life. So we are all, the scripture concludes and the law concludes that all are under sin and that all have come fall short of the glory of God. So we need to get off our religious high horse, amen, and say, praise God, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and because of the crucifixion and because of the resurrection, I have eternal life, and I don't have to experience eternal death or a spiritual death. I am reconciled unto God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So because I inherited sin, I sinned. And that's why I did. That's why I lived. That's why you lived for the devil before you got saved. Amen. That's why we had a spirit of disobedience in us. But when you get saved, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. See, there is a difference between sin and iniquity. Iniquity is my inner desire to sin. Sin is actually the result of what has happened. But Jesus didn't just die for your sins. He died for your iniquities. And he was bruised for our iniquities. Let me say it like this. And he was bruised to heal us of our inner desire to sin. And some of us, we go through cycles and we sin and sin and sin. But I'm here to tell you there's hope for you, that you can get out of the cycle of sinning. You can stop the old habits. You can stop the old lifestyle. Jesus didn't just die for your sin. He was bruised for your inner desire to sin. He was bruised for your iniquities. You can have the victory if you believe it in faith. Amen. Amen, church. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. So Jesus died for your sins. He died for the inner desire to sin. Well, what are you preaching, Pastor? If Jesus died for my sins, then why does Paul say we all fall short presently of God's standard? Well, it's simple. We're not Jesus. He's the only perfect man. Can I get an amen in the house? We're not Jesus. Listen, if you aren't Jesus, then you fall short of God's standard. That's offensive to religious people. But if you're not, we're not perfect people. Are y'all still with me this morning? So who's the only one who lived a perfect life? Who's the only one who's sinless? Jesus Christ, right? How can we be saved and still fall short? I just read you the scripture this morning, didn't I? Grace. All right, y'all with me? He saved me from the penalty of sin. Everybody say penalty. He is saving me, present, from the power of sin. And he will save me from the presence of sin when he comes back again. Amen, church. So he saved us from the penalty. Now I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Pastor, now you're preaching out of line. People's going to take what you say and they're going to abuse it. They're going to abuse your message of grace. They're going to go out here and sin. They're going to live any kind of lifestyle. I know what you're saying. Pastor, if Jesus died for our sins and we still fall short, then everyone will be out of control. And they'll think it's okay to sin. Well, listen carefully. Continuing to live sinfully is not an option. I'll make that clear this morning. When you get saved, everybody say, when you get saved, your nature changes. And you no longer desire to sin. You're a new creation. Everybody say, new creation. So if you're a new creation, you have a new nature. And so we have the nature of Jesus. We are partakers of his divine nature. Yet we still fall short. But we don't wallow in sin. Y'all with me? Listen, I fall short every week of my life. I fall short. But I ain't going to wallow in that sin and say, everybody look at me. I'm sinning and I'm still forgiven. You ain't saved. You're living like hell. You're living like the devil. Y'all with me this morning? When God saves you, you get a new nature. Listen, have you ever taught a bird how to fly? It just does it because it's born to. Everybody say, born again. You ever teach a fish how to swim? No, it just swims. When you get born again, you get saved. It's in your nature to live right. It's in your nature to say, nope, that's not for me. It's in your nature to say no to temptation. Listen, God forgave me of all my sins. I mean all of them. And since he forgave me of all my sins, I'm going to live right for him. I've got a nature change. I'm a new creation. I don't have to do that stuff anymore. Listen, I'm flying high. I don't have to live in the sin of the world anymore. I'm a new man. Everybody say new person. So I've had a nature change. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Newsflash, you don't have to sin anymore. Listen, you don't have to do this anymore. You can actually live for him and he can set you free from all sins. Listen, you cannot take advantage of Christ's sacrifice by continuing to live in open and blatant rebellion and sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 through 2. I'm going to give you some scripture this morning. Everybody say, I love the word of God. What shall we say then? Y'all reading? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let's answer that question. No. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So Paul is telling us, if you've been forgiven, it doesn't mean that you have a license to go out here and do whatever you want to do. Amen. He's saying you've been forgiven and you need to be praising God, thanking God that he died for all of your sins. Now I want y'all to listen closely to me. Listen, if you have no desire to get help and be delivered from something, you're doing wrong, okay? If you have no desire to get help, if you have no desire for God to help you and to be saved, listen, you aren't saved. Listen, I fall short, but I always run to God. And I ask him to help me so, number one, I won't be a bad witness to other people. Let's read Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. See, this is what people do. Now, y'all listening to me, Christians. Listen, when you make a mistake and when you fall short and you know what most of them do? They run away from God. But this is what the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16. For a believer, a righteous man may fall how many times? 7 times. But he's what is he going to do? Rise again. Jesus rose from the dead, right? So every time when I fall, I'm going to rise again because I understand the grace and the mercy of God. And I know this, if I keep running back to God, and I know I'm still a process in the making, I know God is still working on me, but when I fall, when you fall, don't go to the world and say, there ain't no hope for me, there ain't no hope for me. I'm telling you right now, if you fall in sin and make a mistake, get back up, run to Jesus, run to Jesus. And he's got his arms wide open and he's saying, come home, child, come home, daughter, come home, son. Listen, he didn't die on that cross for you to run away from him. He died on the cross for you to run to him. Run to Jesus. Run to him. He's the one that will save you. He's the one that will heal you. He's the one. And some of us would just run away from him because we're in fear and we're afraid of God. But I'm here to tell you that God is a father, and a true father will help you. He'll be there for you. He'll help you any time of the day. Listen, he'll be there for you. Amen, church. So when you do something wrong, say, God, I run to you. You got to help me with it. And listen, he won't let you down. He won't let you down. Amen. Jesus died for our sins, right? I fall, but I get back up. Now, if you desire to live in sin and you're not repentant, then I would examine to see whether or not you're in the faith. Right? Because sometimes you can get comfortable in that, can't you? And whatever old habit it may be, whatever sin, you get comfortable in it, right? And here's the question that some people ask, and this is not the question you should be asking. They ask, if I am saved and all my sins are forgiven, why not continue to sin? That should not be the question you're asking. If that's the question you're asking, you're probably not saved. Can I get an amen? Here's the question we should be asking. If I am saved and all, everybody say all, my sins are forgiven, why not continue to live holy? That's the question we should be asking. Because the question is some people ask, how can I still be saved and get closer to the world? If you're asking that question, you, my friend, are in deep trouble. We should be asking the question of, how can I be saved and stop sinning less and less, and start worshiping Him more and more with my life? Guys, I'm telling you, listen, if you understood what Jesus did for you, died on the cross for you, man, you'd be like, man, I want to get rid of this. I want to get rid of this. Amen, church. Now, God delivers us, but then there's some discipline that comes in. Can I get an amen this morning? Sometimes you got to cut off some relationships. Everybody say discipline. I've been delivered, but I needed some discipline in my life. If you never open up the Word of God and read it, you won't renew your mind. Listen carefully. There's a lot of people that had a new nature change, but they never renew their mind. And so they're not living for God. They've been born again, but they're not renewing their mind with the Word of God. They have a new nature and they don't even know it. There's some of you here this morning, you're continuing in your sin. Listen, you have a new nature. You don't have to do that anymore. But if you'll fill your mind with the Word of God and worship Him and get closer to Him in prayer, listen, you'll start to defeat those sin cycles in your life. I know that's not a popular message, but listen, when God saves you, He changes your nature. Amen, church. So God isn't asking for perfection, but He's asking for honesty and your desire for Him, right, in your life. Listen, God will fill your holiness. Holiness is not a real popular message with some, but holiness is something that God has called us to. And we need to live holy before God. So I said all that to say this morning. Why did Jesus die? For our sins. And He died for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God the Father. And He died for your iniquities. And you don't have to desire to go out and sin anymore. Everybody say, that's a relief. Because anytime you sin, listen, the consequences are great. The consequences are great. And you're like, man, how many's ever said this? I wished I hadn't have done that. How many's ever said that? I said that a lot of times. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Right? Sin is terrible. It's bad. Sin is terrible. It'll take you further than you want it to go. But when you understand that Jesus died for all, everybody say all. So He died for all of my sins, therefore I can live holy before Him. And I can live in total acceptance before Him. Amen? So we know why Jesus died for us. And we really need to be excited about that. We really need to be, praise God. And if you're not careful, it'll start to get bland in your life. You'll be like, oh, we know, we heard all my life. He died for my sins, He died for me. Listen, you got to be careful. Don't lose your passion for the simple truths of the Word of God. Don't lose your passion for it. You say, Pastor, you're preaching a kid's message. You're preaching. No, I'm not. I am preaching a message. I'm preaching a message this morning that will save you and deliver you. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to be set free. I want to be set free. Listen, I know I'm forgiven, but man, I want to be delivered. I don't want to live in the old lifestyle. I don't want to live in those old habits. I don't want to live in those old sins anymore. Listen, God saved me. Now I'm going to live like it. Amen, church. You say, Pastor, you're preaching law. No, I'm preaching grace. Because the same grace that saves you is the same grace that will empower you. And the same grace that will empower you is the same grace that will preserve you and keep you. It's the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. Some of us, we think we live for God in our own might and our own flesh. No, you don't. It's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God you're even here today. It's by the grace of God you can even hear the gospel. It's by the grace of God you can memorize even a Bible verse. It's by the grace of God. I could keep going on, but you get the point. It's all grace. Everybody say, it's all grace. It really is. And so we know why Jesus died for us. Well, why did He raise from the dead? Why did He raise from the dead? Romans 4. Let's read Romans 4, verse 25. In case you want to know why he rose from the dead. We all know why he died for our sins, but you'd be surprised at how many people don't know why he raised. Look, he was delivered up because of our sins, our offenses, and he was raised up because of our justification. So justification is already done. Everybody say that's past tense. It's done. Everybody say it's done. So he was raised because of our justification. Well, it just happened. My justification happened 2,000 years ago. Are y'all still with me this morning? He was raised up 2,000 years ago because of my justification. It already happened. I just have to believe it to be true for my life and accept it to be true and accept Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice. I want to share an example with you to really prove this point, to bring this point home. Let's say you're living in a foreign country. You happen to break a major rule of the land. You appeal to the king for mercy, and he says, I can't bend the rule for you. He says, what will others say about my integrity? If you can find a substitute to take your punishment, 3 months, I'll allow it. You find a willing substitute, he goes to prison on your behalf, and you don't see him for some time. You find somebody to go to jail for you, and you don't see him for a little bit. But how will you know that your crime has been fully paid? How will you know? Well, it's when you see your substitute walking free again. Some of us got it, some of us didn't. When you see him out of prison, you'll know that the sentence has been fully served. And the whole reason that the resurrection needed to happen was to authenticate the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was raised because of my justification. And so now they didn't know it. They were afraid. They don't know where Jesus went. They don't know where the body went. But if they really knew the power of the resurrection, they would say, he's not here. I'm justified. Now let me tell you what justified really means. Let me just break it down. Justified means just as if I'd never sinned. So the cross brought me forgiveness, but the resurrection brought me justification. See, you can forgive someone of what they did wrong to you, but it still doesn't justify the wrong. But only one man could forgive and justify at the same time. Y'all with me this morning? Only one man could do it. So not only did he forgive you of your sins, he said, I'm going to justify you, and it's going to be just as if you'd never sinned. And so right now, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. When Jesus stands before the Father, I'm in Christ. And I say, hallelujah. He sees 100% righteousness, 100% purity. That's why grace is so powerful. See, that's the difference. The crucifixion brought us forgiveness, but the resurrection brought us justification. Put that verse back up there again. Everybody say, he was raised. He was raised up. Because of our justification. It is justification by faith alone. It is nothing I did. Listen, now a while ago I talked about sin. We inherited sin, didn't we? Y'all with me? We inherited it. We inherited the sin nature. Now, I told you that before I sinned, I was a sinner because I inherited it. Can I get an amen? All right. If I inherited sin, guess what else I get to inherit? Righteousness. And justification means that God has pronounced you righteous and declared you righteous before God the Father. And so God the Father, he is pronouncing us righteous, and I am inheriting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is why we say this. It's nothing I did. It's all God. Now, if you think you don't inherit righteousness as a free gift, then don't say it's all God and not me. Y'all with me? Can I get an amen this morning? Jesus died for your sins. It is only by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you add to the blood and if you add to it with works, you are actually making it, you're actually making the grace of God of no effect. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of not of works, lest any man should boast. Some of you will go to heaven and find out you're not going to boast. There's nothing you can boast about. It is all God. If you think that you add to your salvation, you're wrong. If you think you add to it, you're wrong. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the grace of God. From the start of when you got saved, all the way when you go to heaven, it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the grace of God. But what we will add to it, and we'll make the blood of Jesus of no effect. Everybody say, by grace. By grace. See, what does God call you? A lot of times we still, us believers, we'll still refer to ourselves as sinners. I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Well, aren't you a new creation? You're either a sinner or a new creation, right? See, if I'm a new creation, I need to stop referring to myself as a sinner. What does God call me? It's about time we start agreeing with what God calls us. When you get saved, God doesn't call you a sinner anymore. He calls you beloved. Y'all with me? You say, Pastor, we still fall short. Yes, we do. We just read it in Romans 3:23. But God doesn't call you a sinner anymore when you believe in Him for justification. He calls you beloved. He calls you His own. You're the apple of His eye. You belong to Him in the palm. Listen, you're in the palm of His hand. Listen, Jesus said, no man can take you out of the Father's hand. Why do we doubt that verse? Why do we doubt that? We need to believe that with everything that we have. Listen, God the Father has so much love. Listen, it's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our understanding how much love the Father has for us. Everybody say justification. I'm justified, just as if I'd never sinned. See, it's hard for some of us to believe that when we get to heaven, that we're going to be 100% pure before God the Father. Wow. That just blows me away. I am going to have the purity and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And some of us, how many's ever heard this before? Well, if so-and-so, I know they made it. They probably barely made it. Listen, you don't just barely make it. You either go or you don't. Well, he's not saved, but he is. What? He's kind of a Christian, but he's not a Christian. What in the world are you talking about? He either are or you're not. Amen, church. And so when you the Bible says that we can know that we are saved, that we are on our way to heaven. And I know that I'm saved because I'm not depending on my works. I'm depending on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I depend on Him. I give all my life to Him. Now, I know what you're asking me now. Well, you're saying works don't matter. No, I'm not. You say, works don't matter. I know what you're preaching, preacher. You're saying works don't matter. No, I'm not. I gave an illustration. Me and Justin was talking the other day. And let's imagine this. You're out in the middle of the ocean. You don't see any land. You're drowning. Help! You know, you're out in the middle of the ocean. And this boat comes out of nowhere. You're like, it's a miracle. It's not a mirage. I'm not hallucinating. It's a miracle. And so the guy comes out there in the boat, and he's got a lifesaver. And you're like, I'm not believing this. I'm going to get saved. And so the guy throws out the lifesaver to him, to you, and you grab it, and he pulls you in, right? And it was nothing that you did. It was all about the rescuer. So he pulls you in. All you did was grab on. Some of you this morning, you need to grab on to that, and you don't need to let go, because he's going to keep you from drowning in sin, and he's going to keep you from drowning in hell. Now, hang on to, now he brings you in, and he brings you in the boat, and you're like, you saved my life. And this is what you're going to say. What can I do to repay you? And you know what he'll say? It's just something that I just seen you out there and I just felt like doing it. Right? And he'll say this. There's nothing you can do to repay me. I just seen you out there drowning and I seen you need to be saved. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, well, can I at least do something for you? Y'all with me? Works matter. Y'all listening? You're going to say, you saved my life. I'm not going to leave you ever again. How many of y'all is that annoying person? If you save their life, man, they ain't going to leave you alone. They'll be, you saved my life. You saved my life. Do y'all see the spiritual parallel? Listen, when God saves you, you understand that you can't repay him, but you're going to live for him and say, Lord, whatever you want to do for me, I'll do it for you. Wherever you call me, I'll go. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Because you saved me. Y'all see it now? Is it making sense this morning? Now, don't think your works take you to heaven, but they matter. And when you get saved, man, that new nature, you'll start to produce works of righteousness because you understand, hey, he saved me. I'm going, yeah, and man, you're going to live for him the rest of your life. Well, can I get an amen? Amen. You're going to live for him the rest of your life because of what he did for you. You're going to understand it. Because I tell you right now, because that's what I do. If I was drowning out in the middle of the ocean, that man come out there with that lifesaver, yeah, I'm going to grab onto it. And you know what? I'm going to try to meet his request. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me buy you a dinner. Let me do this for you. Are you that way with God? Do you understand what God has done for you? What can I do for you, God? You saved me. I want to live for you. What can I do to serve in the kingdom of God? Amen? What can I do? So I'm saved from the penalty of sin, and I can overcome the power of sin. Now, I preached this morning that the grace of God is strong, but it's never an excuse for you to live in open, blatant sin and say, oh well. If it doesn't upset you that you live in sin or that you're doing wrong, guys, you need to pray and talk with another believer or get some accountability and get some help. Y'all with me? You say, well, I'm afraid they'll judge me. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of Christians that have done that. Can I get an amen? Amen. But we're preaching this morning that you can actually reveal your flaws. We're preaching this morning that you can actually reveal your hang-ups, your sins, and we won't take the gavel out. And we'll say, hey, we're not here to judge. We're here to help you. You can tell us what you're going through. You can tell us all about it. Listen, we get so scared sometimes. Oh, don't tell me about that sin. Don't tell me what you're doing. Oh, I can't believe it. Listen, there's things you're doing right now. It's wrong. Can I get an amen? Right? But God isn't asking for perfection. He's asking for honesty. And if you'll just be honest about your trespasses, if you'll just be honest about your hang-ups and say, you know what? I'm just going to be honest about it because I need some help, man. Amen. Right? And so why did Jesus die? He died for our sins. Why did Jesus raise? Because of my justification. And listen, when I go to heaven, I'm going to say, man, I'm not going to boast because it ain't nothing I did, it's because of what he did. I'm justified. I'm justified before God. And yet, I still have some things I need to work on. I know it's confusing. Y'all with me? We say it all the time. We'll say, well, I'm a work in progress. God's still working on me. He's still working on me, right? And then we'll say, I'm 100% saved. Welcome to the gospel. Welcome to the good news. It's too good to be true. No, it ain't. It's good news. It's good news. And guys, we need to start preaching a message to where, hey, it's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to stay that way. Amen, church. Right, it's okay. If you got something wrong, join. Welcome to the family. You got something you're going through, join the crowd. You got a struggle you're going through, join the crowd. But I'm going to give you some good news. Jesus rose from the dead for your justification, and you actually need to agree with God of what he did for you. But some of us have a hard time agreeing with God, and we say, oh God, God ain't helping me, God ain't doing this. You need to stand on the word of God, and you need to tell the devil. Every time he comes to you and accuses you and tries to condemn you, you need to stand on the word of God and say, I'm justified, I'm righteous before God, I am holy before God, and devil, there ain't nothing you can do about it. So get out of my house, get out of my marriage, get out of my family. Some of you need to stand. Some of you need to stand on the word of God and say, get out of here, Satan. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you believe this verse is out of the mouth of God? Don't you believe this verse? He was raised for my justification. Quit acting like God hadn't justified you. When you leave here today, you need to leave with the understanding, praise God, I am justified. Not only did he forgive me, but he took it a step further. And he justified me. And as far as the east is from the west, so has he forgotten my sins. Amen, church. Why are people so opposed to this wonderful message? This gospel, this good news that God has given us, because the God of this world has blinded their hearts and blinded their minds. And I'm here to tell you this morning that some of you, you struggle whether or not you're going to heaven. You're saved, but you struggle. There's some of you this morning, you're struggling, and you know you're not on your way to heaven. Y'all with me this morning? See, you've got to be able to listen to God and say, you know what? I'm tired of living in fear. I'm tired of living in doubt. I'm going to start walking for God. I'm going to start serving God. Right? Listen, I don't want a Sunday religion. I don't want a two-hour thing on Sunday morning and it not be real on Monday. And it not be real on Tuesday. Right? And Jesus rose from the dead. Listen, Jesus rose from the dead, and I think he expects us to be excited about it and that we should live our lives according to that truth. Amen? So he raised up for your justification. Nothing, no works, no deeds can take you to heaven. Only the grace and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for some of us, when I found that truth out, I was like, oh. Because you know what I thought? Now, we never can pray enough, right? Y'all with me? But you know what my mentality was? If I don't keep praying or whatever, man, I'm not going to go to heaven. Y'all with me? If I don't go to church enough, I may not go to heaven. Y'all with me? Works. Legalism. Everybody say law. The Bible says, and I believe it's Romans 6:14. You can turn there. If it's not it, I'll quote it. But the Bible says that we're not under law. The Bible says that we are under grace. Look at this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law. I'll shout over that one. Hallelujah. I'm not under the law. But I'm under the unmerited favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another way we could read it. For you are not under works, but you are under Jesus' works. And look, it says, well, let's read it like this. For you are above the law. But you are under grace. So guys, I don't know how in the world you can't get excited that you are not subject to the demands of the law. Let's read it like this. For you are not under a demand, but under supply. Y'all with me? Y'all see that? I don't live under, I got to do this, I got to do that. If I don't do this, God's going to condemn me. If I got to do this, oh my mind, I'm in torment, I'm in turmoil. That's not grace, that's law. But if you understand, wait a minute, God is supplying me. I'm not under a demand. Jesus fulfilled, y'all listen, Jesus fulfilled the demands of the law. That's what that means. I'm not under law no more, I'm under grace. Amen. And that's the reason why Jesus was raised, because of our justification. I'm justified before God. And there ain't nothing anybody, listen, nobody, can I preach with confidence this morning? Nobody can talk me out of my salvation. Nobody. I know with confidence, and you should have this confidence, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am 100% saved. Amen. You should be able to say that. If you can't say that before this crowd this morning, I'm totally saved before God. If you can't say that, you may not be saved. But I can say this morning that I am totally saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I believe that there's going to be a time where every one of us are going to have to say that. Absolutely. Publicly before God. Now, are y'all excited that you're not under law? Are y'all excited you're under grace? Because I'm here to tell you, if you was under law, listen, if we was under law, we would have to depend upon our works and actions to take us to heaven. Listen, James said, to him who knows to do good and does it not, it's sin. There's some things this week we knew to do good and we didn't do it. You just sin. Y'all with me this morning? I'm preaching. See, I'm trying to get you lost to understand the total grace of Jesus Christ. Because if you understand grace, you'll be very merciful on other people. Can I preach just a little bit longer this morning? The way you treat people will be based on your understanding of law and grace. If you understand grace, you'll treat people with grace. You say, Pastor, how can you still show mercy and grace on those people? Look what they did, look what they said. Oh my goodness, you're still talking to them. Oh my goodness, you're still talking to them. Grace, everybody say grace. Grace. Right? Now, law, if you're under law, one strike, you're out. I ain't forgiving that person. I'm not doing that. You're expecting them to get back into a right relationship with you through what they do. Y'all with me? But love takes the initiative and says, I'm going to take the first step. You ever hear people say this? Well, they haven't called me. They haven't called me on. They haven't talked to me. They haven't forgave me. They won't even talk to me. Hey, well, why don't you talk to them? Grace takes the first step. Grace says, let me reach out to them. Right? And all of a sudden, you got a cold war going on. Nobody's talking to anybody. I ain't calling him. He's going to have to call me first. He's going to have, y'all with me? Grace is wonderful. When you understand that you're totally saved by grace, you're not going to worry about justice. God will take care of the justice. Amen? Listen, we need to leave the control up to God. People who live under the demands of the law, they're trying to take control of what God is in control of. I've got to control this. I got to control that. I got to manipulate. Listen, you don't have to do nothing like that. You understand you're under grace. Grace, everybody say grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, listen, when you leave here today, you need to leave with the understanding, I could treat my family with grace. Right? And not a 3-strike-out method. 1 strike, 2 strike. Jesus said, remember the 70 times 7? And they asked Jesus, how many times are we supposed to forgive people? How many times are we supposed to forgive? Jesus says 70 times 7, which is 490. But you know what? Jesus still expects you to forgive after the 490th time. Because that's just a Hebrew expression of an innumerable amount of times. Now, y'all are mad at me right now because there's people in your life. There's people in your life. You got to walk in forgiveness. Can I get an amen? Amen? Now, you can walk in forgiveness. You can live under grace. You can live for God when you understand why Jesus died for you and why he raised for you. And he died for your sins. All. Everybody say all. All of them. And he was raised because of our... You got it. He was raised because of our justification. Now listen, I'm almost done. If you know that you are totally justified before God, Why would we live in sin any longer? If we know that we are totally justified before God, why would we be bitter at people about our past and walk in unforgiveness and not forgive them and love them? When you understand that you're clean before God and that God has saved you, man, you'll love everybody. You would say, let me give you a hug, brother. Let me give you a hug. Man, it's so good to see you. So good to see you. Right? And you're not holding people hostage to what they did to you. You don't have to hold people hostage to what they did to you when you understand what he did for you. Let me say that again. You don't have to hold people hostage to what they did to you when you understand what Jesus Christ did for you. Amen, church. There's freedom in that. Some of you need forgiveness this morning. Some of you need repentance this morning. Man, you need a closer walk with God. And some of you, you may have never heard the gospel preached, and you may have been in church all your life. Because I just preached to you the gospel. He died, he raised, he's buried, he's coming back again. And guys, God's presence is here this morning. Listen to me. If you're not sure that you're saved, man, I'd run to this. I wouldn't leave this building today. I wouldn't leave this building. And maybe you think you have a relationship with God, but you feel yourself drifting and drifting and drifting. Hey, let me tell you something. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. It don't happen overnight. And you keep drifting and drifting and drifting. And listen, the Father is standing up here. And he's waiting on you. And you know what? Not only does he want to forgive you of your sins, but he wants you to conquer that inner desire to sin. Right? And some of us, we still live. Man, it's just our life is up and down. Turmoil. Always things going on in our lives, Christians' lives. Man, you've been a Christian for a long time, and you're still doing things you shouldn't be doing, hanging out with the crowd you shouldn't be hanging out with. You know what you got to do? Let me tell you what you got to do. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice, right? And we're all expecting a different result, and we're still doing the same thing. This altar is for you. You can be changed. You can be changed this morning. The Holy Spirit is here. Now, some of you may be mad at me. I don't know. But God is here this morning. And he's wanting to save you. He's wanting to change your heart. And Christian, and even to you believers this morning, it's time. It's time to take a step forward and say, you know what? I don't want to keep doing this sin anymore. This certain sin, these sins, I'm tired of it. I want to be delivered from it. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free from these sins. Because God didn't just die for your sins. He died for your iniquities. He was bruised for your iniquities, your inner desire to sin. This altar is open this morning. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, make it right with God today. He's getting ready to sing. Now, I want us all to bow our heads this morning in prayer. With every head bowed. And I'm just going to ask a question this morning. If any of you, with every eye closed and head bowed, is there anyone in here? Are you 100% sure you'll make it to heaven? Are you saved? Have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? And if you're not sure, just raise your hand. Raise your hand this morning. And if you're afraid or if you're shy, listen, we're not going to put you on the spot because we care for you. But if there's anyone in here, if you don't have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, just slip your hand up. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Lord, that we can live for you. And Father, I pray that you touch everyone in here, whatever they may be going through, because today we believe in the power of the resurrection. Lord, we believe that you're alive today. And because the tomb is empty, we can live a life that's pleasing to you. And Father, I pray for everyone in this building, God, that we will receive what you have for us. That we will receive this word today and walk in joy and peace and understanding. Touch our hearts, God, because, Lord, we want to live holy before you. We want to live a life of righteousness and peace and joy. And, Father, we receive everything that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise God. If whatever need you